Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being the shepherd, and thank you for reading. Again, my name is Pat, and I am a grateful believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to take time to talk about this reading today on forgiveness. It's a real biggie, forgiveness. In day 73, it reads at the top, Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. The first part of that verse, be kind. I have spoken before in these meetings how I have learned, and I am learning, that all people really know sincere kindness. And I find that their hearts long for this kindness. If I'm anywhere, if I can just get out of myself and show kindness to another person, it's almost like their little hearts melt. They're like almost become like little kids, you know. And so I realized that that is one of the best ways that I can evangelize. In fact, there's a whole movement that is called friendship evangelism, where you first start with the premise that, you know, people are looking for that friendship, that kindness from people. And so if I can, again, rise above that self-centeredness and show kindness to another person, it is a wonderful way to usher in being able to speak about Jesus, who is the Lord of my life. The second part of that verse says that I am to be compassionate. And I find that there are times in my, times in my day where I can just feel like, I don't care. You know, I don't know whether I'm too tired, or I teach, and sometimes if the kids are acting out and I know that I need to get a lesson over, part of me is like, okay, if they don't want to listen, I'm not even going to try, you know. But I know that that's the flesh and this unforgiveness when I get to that part. And so when I know that my feelings are feeling that way, I can pray and I can believe that God responds, and he will give me the capacity and the willingness to show deep love. He does that. He's done it before, and he continues to do it. My ability to show compassion is not based on my feelings. It really, truly isn't. It says in the third part of the verse, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. In my own power, I cannot forgive. And my flesh is so selfish that any sincere forgiveness is impossible. And sincere forgiveness on my part is a gift of God. It only comes through the Lord. And I found that the very first time that I was going through the steps in the 12-step program, and I was told to write an inventory, and for the longest time, I didn't think I needed an inventory because I had a history of being hurt deeply. One of the biggest hurts that I had was that I had a birth defect when I was born. I had a cleft palate, and I was never put into, you know, separated from the other kids. They mainstreaming was all people did. It was no such thing as putting people, you know, in a different class. And so I was always at the low part of the totem pole and always the butt of every joke. And so all I could remember was, you know, people hurting me. And I had this huge resentment and hurt from people being so mean to me. And I can remember my sponsor's insight, my very first sponsor, and she said, yes, you need to write an inventory because your sin is that you haven't forgiven them. And it was like, boing, you know, I could not believe that that was true. And I knew in my heart what she said was true. And so I did begin writing that inventory. And what was amazing to me is that each time that I wrote that inventory, more started coming out as I was writing. And I realized that I knew the names of people who had said things to me. I mean, I had to be, what, a child of six in school, and yet I could remember people's names. I could remember where they sat. You know, how they put you in those little tables in the first grade. I remember that I sat at table five, and I remember the kid at, you know, table three who had said so-and-so to me. I mean, it was like, whoa, it was shameful almost to me when I realized that I had cataloged all of that hurt and pain. And so I was not, you know, forgiving to them. And no wonder I was in bondage. In fact, there is a story about an unforgiving servant. It's in Matthew 18, 23 through 35, because the last part of that verse says, just as Christ forgave you. And that unforgiving servant in that story, it was this man who owed a lot to his master. And his master was trying to settle his account. And when he found out that this guy owed so much money, he decided that he would sell him and his family and everybody, you know, sell it all so that he could recoup his money. But the guy just pleaded with him, please, you know, don't do this. Please, please. And so the man had mercy on him. And he not only didn't sell him, but he forgave him his debt. He just took it, you know, just took it off the books. And later on, this same man who had forgiveness had another man owe him some money. And not very much compared to, I mean, it was minute compared to what he owed the master and what the master had taken off the books for him. Yet the man who was forgiven, he threw this guy into jail. You know, he was just, I mean, unmerciful to this guy. And later on, when the master found out, he rescinded what he had done, and he put the man in jail. And I realized that, and then Jesus, who was telling this parable, says, you know, the same thing will happen to you. And I realized what he means about that for me is that my bitterness will put me in bondage. That when I am bitter toward another person, when I have a resentment, that's why they say in the 12-step program, resentment is the number one offender. When I have this resentment and have this bitterness just growing up inside of me, it is putting chains all around me. And I really have to ask the Lord for the willingness and strength to be released and to release everything that I think is mine. Going back to that Galatians 2:20, you know, that verse that was mentioned in the reading, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. In the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So I'm not my own anymore. I was born at a price. That's what it says in another part of the Bible. I was born at a price. And so I need to glorify him. And I also need to release everything to him and ask him to give me direction for my life so that I can live life well. And that's why abstinence is so important, so extremely important, because abstinence helps me to have the clarity to be able to hear from him. And it gives me that energy that I need in order to work and serve him well. And one of the best ways that I serve him is to give to others. And when I was not abstinent, I felt so bad about myself. I always was thinking about me. I never thought about giving to other people. And then the other thing is that I didn't have anything I felt that I could give. I certainly didn't know how to be abstinent, so I couldn't tell you how to do that. And yet it seemed like there were lots of people around me who suffered as I did, and I could not lead them except when I was the blind leading the blind. And so my abstinence is really extremely important to being used effectively by God. Not that God doesn't use me, because he uses anyone he pleases. He does. But the truth is that I want to be fruitful. I want to have that that sense inside of me that I am walking with the Lord and that I am serving him well. And when I am not being abstinent, when I'm running after the food, chasing the food, then I'm serving another master. And the Bible says, I cannot serve two masters. It says that in Matthew chapter 6, 24 through 26, you know, I can't serve two masters. Either I will hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. And so I want to truly, truly serve the Lord. So I need to pray daily that he keeps me abstinent no matter what. In the reading itself, it talks about, it gives four mindsets that I have found that really are helpful. And again, like that first one is that it's not about me, it's about Jesus, you know. And then the second one, my feelings of bitterness can usually be traced back to a lie. And one of the lies that comes into my mind sometimes when I'm mad at somebody who has hurt my feelings, you know, and I can't be nice to them, is I believe that lie that is spoken about in Ephesians 6, 12, and 13, where it reminds me that my struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, authorities, and powers of the dark world. I am in a war, no doubt about it, but the war is not against flesh and blood, believe me. It's against rulers, authorities, and powers of the dark world. It's a spiritual war. And so I need spiritual weapons. And I also need to remember that just as the demons used me, that the demons can use other people too. And the most loving thing that I can do for someone who has hurt me or is hurting me is to pray for them. And prayer is just an amazing, amazing thing. And that third one where it says, despite my filth and encrusted grit, I'm telling you, the more I am abstinent, the more I am just amazed at how the Lord has forgiven me. I went, oh my goodness, every day of abstinence, it seems like they talk about the layer of the onion being peeled away. It's like little bits, more and more is revealed about just the road that I was going through. And I mean, sometimes it actually still makes me moan. I went, oh my goodness, I cannot believe I did that. Or I cannot believe I said that, you know. And so, and yet to know that the Lord loves me and has forgiven me is just an amazing, amazing thing. And then that fourth thing is when I cry aloud to Jesus, things change. The name of Jesus. Last night I went to a service, and that was one of the songs where we sang, you know, oh, how I love the name of Jesus. You know, oh, how I love that name, so sweet. You know, and I just, it's really true. It's a power in that name. Even as I'm saying it right now, I'm saying that to you. I'm telling you right now, and I'm telling you, I can feel the Spirit. I can feel it in my bones. Just saying it in the name of Jesus, you know, it's just a powerful, powerful name. So when all things fail, I can remember that Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Thank you, Jesus. Anyway, I am going to pass this on to our shepherd and ask her if she could make some comments on this, on these verses. But could you, Stephanie?